Imagine trying to rebuild a fractured nation from scratch, but the main tool you use to communicate is the exact weapon that was used to divide you in the first place.
Yeah, that is a massive hurdle to overcome.
Right. Well, that was South Africa's reality back in 1997. And today, our mission for you is to explore the resulting language in education policy.
Because it's not just, a standard set of school rules.
Exactly. It is a legal framework designed to literally re-engineer a society. Okay,
No.
let's unpack this.
What's fascinating here is how this document bypasses all the empty political rhetoric and goes straight for structural integration.
Getting right down to the plumbing of the
Yeah,
nation.
it operates on the premise that dismantling apartheid required fundamentally rewiring how citizens speak to one another. The policy legally views cultural diversity not as some bureaucratic headache, but as a foundational asset.
To pull that off, they had to completely scrap the old Eurocentric models, right? The ones tying language to racial isolation.
Absolutely. The old system was basically a mandate for ethnic chauvinism. The apartheid regime used language to isolate and conquer.
But the 1997 policy flips that. It establishes this fluid relationship between language and culture. It basically makes being multilingual a defining characteristic of being South African.
It does.
It's kind of like the difference between forcing everyone into a single walled-off silo where identities are erased versus organizing a mandatory open town square.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, where different communal cultures are mutually reinforcing.
Right.
You bring your own culture, but you are forced to engage with your neighbors.
That is precisely the philosophy. But, putting that town square into practice
Yeah.
introduces immense friction.
Right. So let me play devil's advocate on that friction. The document explicitly acknowledges arguments that teaching entirely in one language, say, just English, is way more cost-effective.
Yeah.
Given they are rebuilding an entire country, why not just take the economically efficient route?
Because sheer economic efficiency would mean sacrificing the psychological benefits of what they call additive
Of
bilingualism.
additive bilingualism.
Yeah. It isn't about replacing a student's mother tongue just to make administration easier. It means using the child's home language as the absolute foundation and then strategically adding another language on top.
Ah, so you gain fluency in both without losing your cultural anchor.
Exactly. They base this on international research showing that dual medium or two-way immersion programs result in much deeper cognitive flexibility.
And cross-cultural empathy, I'd imagine.
Yes,
And
exactly.
they made sure it wasn't optional, right? Because from grade three onward, you have to take your language of teaching plus an additional approved language.
And it gets stricter. By grades 10 to 12, passing two languages becomes a strict legal requirement for promotion.
Wow. So you literally cannot advance in society without proving you can speak someone else's tongue.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, writing those requirements into law creates an explosive clash with local administrations. Giving individuals the right to choose their language means the state actually has to provide it.
So what happens when a historically segregated school simply refuses? Or, they claim they don't have the resources to offer Xhosa or Zulu. What actually triggers state intervention?
Hard demographic triggers. The policy dictates that it becomes reasonably practicable, meaning legally required, for a province to provide education in a specific language if there are just 40 requests in grades 1 to 6.
Wait, just 40 requests?
Yep. Or 35 requests in grades 7 to 12 within a given district.
That is a brilliant mechanism for social engineering. 35 kids can legally force a school district to hire new teachers and change its whole operational language.
It democratizes integration completely from the bottom up. And if a provincial government tries to stonewall those parents, they can escalate disputes all the way to the Arbitration Foundation of South Africa.
Oh, wow. So it's not a suggestion. It's a constitutional lever designed to force bureaucratic compliance.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? Why should you, listening right now, care about a policy from 1997?
Because it serves as an absolute masterclass in using the mechanics of education to systematically dismantle separatism.
Yeah, it weaponizes constitutional rights to build equity. It recognizes that you can't just tell people to be unified. You have to structurally mandate that communities actually engage with one another,
On equal footing, yeah.
which leaves us with a provocative thought to carry with you. The document explicitly claims that learning multiple languages actively counters separatism.
It builds mutual understanding.
Right. So consider your own environment. How might the social dynamics of your neighborhood or even your workplace completely shift if everyone was required to fluently learn the home language of different communities?
It's a fascinating concept.
It really is. It might just be the ultimate hack for mutual respect.